Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T. from the Club 520 Podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill.
Dan and Kyle in the morning. Let's talk to the pros. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. You can find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. It is Friday. We got a lot of games to get to here for championship week. But first, as we do every week, let's welcome in Dr. David Chow. You can find him on Twitter at ProFootballDoc or his website at sickscore.com, S-I-C, or ProFootballDoc.com should take you there as well. Doc, how are you today?
Good, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I'm glad we could fit it in. I know we're both busy.
Injury analysis with Dr. David Chow.
Doc, it's a weird week. I want to start with Lamar Jackson. That's a guy who I'm getting a ton of questions about. He's not ruled out yet. He didn't practice again today on Friday. There was the video of him on practice on Wednesday, which to my very untrained eye did not look great, followed by two DNPs. So, I mean, just basically, Doc, I know you like I ask you the specific questions, but I'm going to take the step back and ask you the broad question. What do you see on that video, and what does it make you think about Lamar Jackson's availability this weekend and his potential effectiveness?
For those watching the video, podcast video, maybe you noticed my eye roll there. look, last week we talked about how he wasn't going to play. And Coach Harbaugh is the greatest, right? Optimistic. And, you know, it's part of his job to coach speak and the thing. So no hate there to Coach Harbaugh. But we said on Fantasy Pros, even early last week, Lamar is not playing. And we said last week, this week is in doubt too. And as soon as I saw that video, I said, there's no way that he's playing. Harbaugh can coach speak all he wants. We're really hopeful, really want him to. Look, Lamar wants to play, which is why he tried it. But you cannot speed up a bone bruise. You could speed up an ankle sprain. You cannot speed up a bone bruise. That's biology. So not only is he not playing this week, week 18 now is no guarantee. If you go back and look at that video from Wednesday when he was, quote, limited practice. Look, Dan, you know this. Limited practice means one play or 99 plays, right? So he was out there, so he qualified. But if you watch how he moved, I mean, I hate to say it, I might have been able to move more quickly, and that's not saying a lot. And if you watch the video very closely, I believe it's the quarterback's coach. I don't know him personally. He looks like he's in his mid-50s. He's got a little bit of a gut. And after Lamar throws a pass, they're, quote, walk jogging to the line of scrimmage. And the quarterback's coach has to slow down to let Lamar catch up to tell him something. What does that tell you right here? I mean, Lamar's a mobile guy. He's not mobile. I mean, at this point, I mean, look, you can hope all you want, whatever, but as a fantasy manager, you better have plan B and, whatever it is. And obviously what it means for receivers and running backs and all the downwind stuff. I don't see how he plays. Now you have to understand, I get it's important, and it's playoff time and positioning, but you can't jeopardize the guy's career playing through a bone bruise, making it worse. So he's out this week. and maybe next week too. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, such a, you know, tough break for the Ravens, who were 8-3 at one point, looked like a real contender for the Super Bowl, and now are fighting for their lives to make the playoffs. Doc, let's talk about another quarterback. It's Jimmy Garoppolo. As we record this, we haven't seen anything yet on Friday, but a UCL tear in his thumb and a fracture. I mean, we may know by the time people listen to this that he's ruled out for this week, but without knowing that, Doc, is there a chance he plays this week? And even, is he going to play next week going forward, do you think?
Well, look, there's always a chance, right? Now, remember, Jimmy G, it happened late in the second quarter and he finished the game, okay? Right. So there's a chance. But early this week at the YouTube channel, Six Score, et cetera, and at the website, I said it's Trey Lance time. And it's Trey Lance time for the rest of this season. The ulnar ligament, this side of the thumb, it affects your grip. You can't accurately spin and throw the ball with a UCL. The fracture is not a big deal. It's an avulsion. It's just an ulnar ligament tear. So why doesn't he go surgery like Drew Brees last year, the year before, miss 6 weeks and come back? Because there's not 6 weeks left. Right. And, you know, immobilization will get him there too, but you can't immobilize it. You can't. It's asking too much. And if you hear Mike Shanahan's, Kyle Shanahan's comments, you know, I still say San Diego Chargers. Okay.
All right.
Kyle Shanahan, you know, Trey Lance is a good month. I mean, it's Trey Lance time this week and next week. And look, this may be the end of Jimmy G in a 49er uniform as well. And I don't see how they push him through this, just from an accuracy perspective. And next week isn't going to change anything. You know, I don't see how he plays.
Well, based on all the questions I've gotten so far this week, Doc, I bet Trey Lance is going to either win a lot of people their fantasy championships or lose a lot of people their fantasy championships because everybody wants him in their starting lineup. Let's talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Again, we haven't seen it yet. Maybe by the time you're listening to this, he's been ruled out. But, you know, they called it a collarbone at first, and then he was deemed week to week after positive results. Do you think he's going to be able to suit up this week? And if so, do you think that he'd be able to carry a full running back workload?
I never thought it was true collarbone. I thought it was the end of the clavicle, like an AC joint sprain. And if this were playoffs for real for the Chiefs, I believe they would shoot it up and he would go and play. Because of where the Chiefs are, because it's week 17, I think they rest him to get him 100% for the playoffs and go with plan B. And this is where return to play, we've always talked about, it isn't just about the medical status. It's the medical status, what the player thinks, and what the team wants to do. And my guess is medically they say they could shoot it up and play. And the player says, oh, I can go. But I just don't see Andy Reid and company forcing the issue. Go with plan B and get a healthy Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the playoffs.
Yeah. I think that's what most fantasy managers are expecting as well. And Darrell Williams makes a fine start this week. Let's talk about, let's go to James Conner, Doc, because this one's tough. He's got a heel injury. I don't remember it happening in the game, like a specific player or anything like that. Everybody thought he was going to suit up. Then it's Christmas and he doesn't suit up. And, you know, nobody knows what to do. And now he's going to be a game day decision again. Can you give us any insight whatsoever on what's going on with Conner?
Well, the good news is, you know, you don't play running back on your heels, right? You play it on the balls of your feet. The bad news is, obviously, you missed some time, and Chase Edmonds is back, right? So they've been kind of 1A, 1B. And so, look, from a fantasy perspective, and I'm no expert, I'm eliminated now, made the playoffs, but that's about it, limped into the playoffs, say. I mean, all the quarterbacks hurt. I mean, whatever. My point is that depends on what options you have, right? I mean, if you have a viable number one guy that's not James Conner, maybe you got to go that way, because even if he does play, there's going to be some split there, being that Chase Edmonds is now healthy, and that's the way they've been going all year. So, but if you don't have another choice, then you might just have to, you know, take your chances.
A lot of people are going to be looking at the Eagles running back situation this week, Doc, with Miles Sanders ruled out. Jordan Howard, you know, people thought would be the guy, but then he left last week with what they described as a stinger. He missed practice early in the week, came back to practice, looked a little bulky, looked like he had some protective gear on, perhaps. He's questionable. I think in the past, Doc, he has suffered a, quote, stinger and missed the next game. I guess, do you think that Howard's going to be able to suit up here? And if so, do you expect any limitations for him?
Well, here's the risk with Jordan Howard. One, another hit. He's missed multiple games for this in the past. Another hit, and he could be out for the game. So even if he's active and starts, you know, once again, you have to take your chances. And our six score will reflect that he's not necessarily 100%. And he's literally one hit away, stinger again, and then he's out for the game. The bulky collar stuff is all to protect him. I think if it were a healthy Miles Sanders, they probably would sit Jordan Howard this week. But he might be pressed into service, right? And the Eagles may say, look, we need him. Yeah, there's Boston Scott. Yeah, there's others. But still, they need him. And they may just ride him for what he can do as long as he can.
Yeah. Last one, Doc. And I don't know how much light you can shed on this one. It's let's talk about both Bucs receivers here. Mike Evans is off the COVID list. That's good. But we still don't know whether or not he's going to be able to return from his hamstring injury. So you obviously did see that one on video. But we also have Antonio Brown, who reportedly, quote, tweaked his ankle in practice. He'd missed a lot of time with that ankle, and now he's going to be a game time decision, which is just the worst possible thing for fantasy managers in a game, by the way, that the Bucs are favored by, you know, 13 points at this point. So I guess, Doc, anything you can shed, any light you can shed on either of the Bucs wide receivers at this point?
Well, we hate practice injuries because there's no video and you just don't have any information. Now, remember, the first time this season Antonio Brown had a practice injury, he missed multiple weeks. And right, and we talked about it here. There was video where he was limping around like crazy. And quite honestly, that COVID penalty that he took probably wasn't much of a penalty. It probably was, you know, him getting better from his ankle. Now, the question is, last time he was said to have, quote, tweaked his ankle, he missed a ton of time. Is this time truly a tweak or not? We don't have any video to go off of, but my hope would be that he can go, and he's needed because, let me tell you, I don't see Mike. Yes, Mike Evans is off of COVID. The new protocols allow him to come off. I don't see him as 100%, anything close to 100%. And given their choice, I think they'd rather rest him and have him healthy for the playoffs, right? Mike Evans, quote, retweaks that hamstring, and he will miss playoff time. Antonio Brown returns that ankle, it doesn't necessarily put him out for the playoffs. So if you're asking me about the two from the outside, not examining either one, I'd say Antonio Brown medically is the lower risk because the Bucs are trying to win a Super Bowl. They're not trying to win the last two regular season games. So if you're going to risk one, it would be Antonio Brown over Mike Evans, because the worst thing you can do is lose Mike Evans to the playoffs because you don't have Chris Godwin.
Yeah, Doc, invaluable information today, invaluable information all season long. It's been a pleasure as always. Please plug everything you do and where everybody can check you out.
Well, yeah, we're at Sports Injury Central is a new site. So we're not only doing football, but basketball and all these, you know, Ricky Rubio in games, yep, that he tore his ACL. Baseball, if they ever get started back up, we brought on other physicians that are former Major League Baseball physicians and you know, the former Chicago Bulls doctor. So we're expanding to a year-round thing, and hopefully we'll continue to grow and have some fun. But I'll miss these chats. As I've told you, I've always enjoyed them because to me it's just a fun conversation.
Yeah, I agree. And again, as somebody who gives out fantasy advice, of course, and on Sunday mornings, I feel that my recommendations are always made stronger by having that extra insight that you provide. So I really appreciate it. And again, everybody check out sixsquare.com. I do. That's how I sort of keep up to date on all the latest injury news. All right, everybody, we'll take a very brief break here, and then we'll be back with Dan and Kyle in the morning.
Dan and Kyle in the morning.
Dan and Kyle in the morning. Final time for the 2021 season. Yates, how you doing?
Doing good. Starting to get a little anxious because we are going to be flying down to Florida tomorrow. And all four of us, you know, my wife and I, and then the two kids under the age of 3.5. So this will be an experience.
The infant flight, Yates. You are a brave man. How old is the little one now?
8 weeks. So we talked about it. We were like, okay, do we want to drive down, you know, the 24 hours or whatever it would be? Or do we just kind of want like a Band-Aid and rip it off? And yeah. I think that's probably the best option.
Yeah, if you've got to do one of those, it's fine. I will say that not that young, but we flew with our daughter when she was younger than expected. And it went great, and she was fantastic. So I hope the same for you, but I admit that I doubt it.
I'm really not as worried about like the actual flight with the kids. I think they're going to be fine. It's more so like the pack mule situation with how much stuff we have to bring with two kids under the age of 3.5 to the airport. That's my issue.
That is also something. Let's just hope that the flights don't get canceled, given obviously everything that we've been seeing of late. But regardless, Yates, we don't even have buys this week. We don't even have the Thursday game. We got 16 games to get to, so we got to roll right through it. You know what this is. It's Dan and Kyle in the Morning, which is a game-by-game breakdown of everything we're going to see for the weekend, all of our start-sit recommendations. But before we get into it, let's do two things. First, let's talk about leaving a review for this show. Now, this is not a contest anymore for the review for this show. Okay, we're past that. This is the last one of the season, the last Dan and Kyle in the Morning for the season. If you guys are still listening and you haven't yet left a review, it would be fantastic if you could go to wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Spotify, I think does reviews now. If you just leave a review for the show, that is a free and very, very easy way to support the show. We love you guys. We do this for the listeners. If you guys are still listening now, hopefully you're still in your playoffs and your championship matchup, and hopefully you got some value out of it. So if you want to show support real easily, just leave a review. Takes 5 seconds. And before I started podcasting, I did not realize how much reviews actually help podcasts grow, helps them learn and get their feedback. And we read the reviews and try to incorporate any feedback. So again, really easy, just leave a review. Also, after you listen to this, you are going to go and you're going to go set your lineups and you're going to go win your championships. And then when you do, you're going to celebrate. And if you're like me, you're going to do it with a trophy or a ring or a belt from our friends over at Trophy Smack. Seriously, you guys have seen me like obsessed with the rest of season rankings trophy that I have. And I like to hold it up. Now, I don't have it right here yet, so I'm very sorry. But I do have a championship belt, which I'm going to bequeath to my son, Will, after he wins our Harris family championship, most likely on Sunday, after I fix the final matchup so he doesn't beat me up. There are over 1,000 combinations at Trophy Smack, which you can go to fantasypros.com/shop and check it out. You can customize your trophy by size, column, color, plaque, quote, or trophy topper. And while you're there, check out any of the Fantasy Pros apparel and, of course, the Remembering Mike Tagliere collection. All proceeds from anything bought from that collection are donated straight to Tags' family. So that's fantasypros.com/shop.
The Fantasy Over-Under Challenge.
All right, Yates, as usual for our last time here, let's start with the Over-Under Challenge. That is sponsored by Caesars. fantasypros.com/challenge. You guys know, completely free to play. 10 fantasy point over-unders. There are weekly prizes. Hopefully you've been in it the whole time so you can win the season-long prize, a two-night stay to Caesars Las Vegas Resort plus airfare. Again, fantasypros.com/challenge. Yates, Matthew Stafford at Baltimore. 21.7 fantasy points.
Stafford didn't look right this past week, but I think he has a bounce back performance here against the Baltimore secondary, which just cannot stop anyone at this point. So I will take the over.
All the passing for Matthew Stafford for sure. Joe Burrow coming off the big game versus Kansas City, 19.3.
Chiefs are a tougher defense, but I think points are going to go up on the board in this one. So I will take the over.
Dalvin Cook returns at Green Bay, 16.5 fantasy points.
With the weather, I think they are going to lean on Dalvin Cook in this one, so I will take the over here as well.
Javonte Williams at the Chargers, 12.8.
Fine line. I will take the under here because I think that he is going to have to fall into the end zone to hit the over here, and so I'll just play it safe. I'll take the under.
Ezekiel Elliott against Arizona, 13.8.
Again, he's got to find the end zone to be able to hit the over here. Now, he has a very good chance of doing that. He does it, I think, at a higher rate than anyone else in the league as far as being able to fall into the end zone. I will still take the under here with Zeke, though.
A.J. Brown against Miami, 13.4.
Target volume is going to be there. Tougher matchup, so I'll take the under here as well, but it's close.
Over under 15 targets for A.J. Brown in this game.
I'll take the slight under.
Correct. Jalen Waddle at Tennessee, 12.2.
You got to take the over here. Great matchup. He's being force-fed targets. I will take the over.
You better take the over on Amon-Ra St. Brown at Seattle, 11.7.
Yeah, that's a low line there for Amon-Ra St. Brown. At this point, I will smash the over.
CeeDee Lamb against Arizona, 12.8.
I think this is a really good line, and I was looking at this earlier. I think it's pretty close. I will lean under here, but again, really, really close.
I'm also going under with this one. I do think that you can attack Arizona a little bit more in the perimeter rather than the slot, so I will lean slightly under, but Mark Andrews against the Rams, 13.9.
High line. But I mean, based on everything that we've seen over the past 3 weeks, like the numbers are just absurd for Mark Andrews, and it doesn't matter who's throwing him the ball. So I will take the over.
I agree with you.
Matchup previews.
Let's get into it. You guys know this is Friday morning. We don't have all the practice reports. We will try to give caveats. There will be major news breaking in the middle of this podcast that we will try to incorporate if best we can. Yates, are you ready to go game by game?
Here we go.
Let's start with the one that everybody wants to watch, Falcons at Bills. Falcons, Yates, I mean, I guess after last week, I was like, man, I don't want to feel compelled to start Cordarrelle Patterson anymore. Where do you have him ranked this week?
I have him just inside the top 24 running backs. So I think that I think he'll still see work, but he has to find the end zone. And this is a very, very tough matchup against Buffalo on the ground. So I don't feel super confident starting Cordarrelle Patterson like the way that I was earlier on in the season, obviously. So if you have a better option, I think that you can pivot to him.
Give me a couple of guys, Yates, who you're starting over Cordarrelle Patterson right now.
Yeah, so I will, as of right now, like assuming that he's back, I will start Jordan Howard over Cordarrelle Patterson, Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, even Devin Singletary. I'll start Devin Singletary over Cordarrelle Patterson.
I am with you. You're starting Kyle Pitts, but I am interested where you have him ranked this week, Yates.
I have Kyle Pitts currently at tight end 9.
Okay, yeah, so a little bit lower, honestly, than both. I'm with you. I have him 8th, so just, you know, he's a guy who, you know, we know he's not going to score the touchdown, of course, because right. He just does not do that, but the yardage, though, is there, but this isn't the best matchup. How about Russell Gage, Yates, after a little bit of a disappointing game?
Yeah, he's still in the mid-range wide receiver 3 conversation for me. I've got him parked at wide receiver 31 currently, so this is someone that, you know, safe floor, tougher matchup, obviously, against Buffalo and their secondary, but I do think that you can still look at Russell Gage as, you know, they're going to have, Atlanta's going to have to throw. And where is the ball going to go? It's not going to go to any of the other receivers. Kyle Pitts should be fine, but, you know, Gage has to be involved. So I've still got him there at a mid-range wide receiver 3.
Russell Gage or Van Jefferson?
I got asked this on the Wednesday show. And so I said with Gage, I would go with him if you needed like a safe floor. With Jefferson, if you need that upside, then I would go with Jefferson.
For the Bills, you mentioned Devin Singletary, Yates. Where do you actually have him ranked this week?
I have him currently at 18 on the week.
Any concerns, Yates, that we're randomly going to wake up and then Zach Moss is going to be, you know, active and Matt Breida is going to be active and Zach Moss is going to lead the way here? Or is he basically in the quote unquote circle of trust for a running back?
I think based on the previous track history, we have to be at least concerned that that could happen. But you look at the snap share, opportunity share over the past few weeks for Devin Singletary, it's not even close. So I think Singletary, we can lean on him, especially in this matchup against Atlanta.
You are starting Josh Allen. You are starting Stephon Diggs. Yates, everybody's back now from the COVID-19 reserve list with the new protocol. So what wide receiver for the Bills are you starting?
I'm going to go with Gabriel Davis. We have Emmanuel Sanders downgraded to DNP on Thursday, yep, which is huge. So I've been, I had the Discord stages yesterday, which you can join over at fantasypros.com/chat. We're going to have a ton of stuff in the offseason that you want to make sure that you're a part of. So I got a ton of questions about like Gabriel Davis and the Bills receivers and stuff like that. And I said, with Davis, the thing that you need to watch is Emmanuel Sanders. You need to be monitoring the reports. Okay, is Davis going to take over the starting role here for Sanders? And then we got word that he was downgraded to a DNP, so that kind of clears it up, where I think if Davis is getting that starting role up against Atlanta, we can comfortably start him as a, you know, low-end to mid-range wide receiver 3 with tremendous upside.
Dawson Knox locked in your lineup?
Yes, at this point, yep.
Giants at the Bears. I mean, for the Giants, it's really only one guy that we need to talk about, and it's Saquon. And if you made the championship with Saquon on your team, are you starting him in this one?
He was a DNP on Wednesday, upgraded to limited on Thursday. So this is something to monitor, too, where we don't even know if he's going to play this week. So it's something to monitor. I've got him at RB25 on the week currently. So it's kind of the same thing with Cordarrelle Patterson. Like, you can play him, but if you've got other alternatives, I think that you can comfortably pivot to them.
Saquon or Deonta Foreman?
I will still go Saquon in that situation.
Now, if Saquon's out and Devontae Booker is in, does that make Booker more enticing than Saquon to you?
I think he'll get work. So, I mean, he's a pivot option, right? Like, I'm not going to go out there if you've got Devontae Booker on your bench and you're, you know, you've got guys like Michael Carter or DeAndre Swift and Ramondre Stevenson. Like, I'm not going to be like, yeah, play Devontae Booker over him. But, you know, he's one of the guys that you can pivot to if you need to. He'll see plenty of volume.
Yates, we're in championship weekend. Can I safely assume you are starting no other New York Giant on your fantasy team?
That is the correct assumption.
For the Bears, Yates, how high do you have David Montgomery this week?
I have David Montgomery currently at RB8.
Yeah, you are way too low. I have him at 4, and I want you to move him up. Yes, he is going to just have some fun in this game, in my opinion. And again, he's just been so involved in the passing game that he's just, you know, his floor at this point, I think, is so solid. How about Mooney here, Yates? And I guess, does it matter who the quarterback is for you?
It does a little bit. There's a lot of variables here with this team as we move into Sunday. So we've got Justin Fields limited in practice on Wednesday and Thursday, and then Andy Dalton has returned to full practice. So there's something here to monitor where we might have Andy Dalton as the starting quarterback rather than Justin Fields. And so then also Allen Robinson cleared off the COVID list. He should be back this week. That could take away some targets for Darnell Mooney. There's just a lot going on here. So Mooney is not a like locked in option into my starting lineup. I have him currently at 33. Which is two spots behind Russell Gage. So I do think that you can still look his way, but I don't know if there's the tremendous upside necessarily with Mooney, regardless of who the quarterback is.
Cole Kmet's been getting a lot of targets, Yates. Do you have any interest in starting him here?
You can pivot to him, but again, we're in championship week. So if you made it to your championship and you don't have like a tight end, you know, higher than tight end 17, which is where I have Kmet, then I don't know how you did it. So Kmet for me is someone that you can look at, but would prefer to sit.
Yates, I think we need to be honest about our hits and our misses, and I have not been good at ranking DSTs this year, man. Like, every streamer that I go after doesn't seem to pan out, but I feel like the Bears are going to be a good one this week. Are you confident in starting the Bears DST?
Absolutely. They're a top 10 option. I mean, you have a combination of Mike Glennon and Jake Fromm this week at quarterback. Like, yeah, we can start the Bears DST.
I'm fifth on the week, if that's worth anything to anyone. Chiefs at the Bengals. This is a game that everybody will be watching. Let's go with the Bengals here, Yates. And look, I guess let's start with Joe Burrow. And the question that I have gotten a million times already this week is, are you starting Joe Burrow or Trey Lance,
yep,
assuming that Trey Lance starts? Is that the one that you're getting as well?
I'm getting a ton of that one,
that's
too.
That's the, yep, question, right? Yep. And so what is it?
It's really difficult for me to answer because I have them back to back in my quarterback rankings currently. I have Joe Burrow at 9. I have Trey Lance at 10. So I think I talked about Trey Lance, and I'm sure we'll talk about him in the San Francisco game, but just briefly, like, Trey Lance has tremendous upside based on the matchup. He's going up against Houston. He has top 5 upside. But I think there's a little bit of unknown just because, like, it's week 17. It's your championship week. Are you going to be playing Trey Lance, who we haven't seen really this season? Or are you just going to plug in Joe Burrow because you know and you feel confident that he's going to bring you a safe floor, that you know that he's going to get the job done, right? So I think there's a difference here. Like, Burrow is the safe floor play. Trey Lance is that swing for the fences upside play, just because of the unknown. Now, I'm very confident in Lance's abilities. I'm very confident in what he can do, but it just depends on how risk averse are you, right? Do you want to take that safe floor, that guaranteed, you know, 19 fantasy points with Joe Burrow, and still he has upside because of the offense, or do you want that potential like 28 fantasy point game from Trey Lance?
Yeah, my cousin, or Aaron's cousin, who I now call my cousin because he's cool and I like him, he listens to this podcast, Yates, and he was asking me, he's like, I just really, really want to start Trey Lance over Tom Brady because I think they're going to dominate that game.
And
I think they're
too.
Just going to, yep, run it. Yeah. And I was like, look, I that's not how I have it ranked. I don't have it. It's not insane to me, though, right? Like, I think if you want to, there's the garage door. If you want to, and by the way, if everybody knows, I was telling Yates, I do not have coffee right now. Just do some miscommunication and stuff. So my wife will almost certainly be walking in my office in about 2 minutes. I'm going to get some coffee and you're going to see a bolt of energy just come up through me right there. Yates, I don't think it's crazy if you start Lance over anybody really this week. Like, I wouldn't, like you said, but I think if you want to go that route, I don't hate it. How about the wide receivers, Yates? I mean, you're obviously starting T. Higgins, of course, and you're still starting Jamar Chase. He had a great game, but obviously been a little inconsistent. What about Tyler Boyd, Yates? He's the forgotten man, but he has been producing pretty consistently.
Yeah, he's still someone that you can look at. I've got him at 39 on the week, so a little bit lower. There are other guys that I would play over him, but you definitely can still look at him. I just think that the likelihood that the production goes more towards T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, that's higher than, you know, Tyler Boyd being involved enough to push into the top 30, top 24, whatever. So I've got him a little bit lower, but you definitely can still look his way.
Joe Mixon, obviously, in your lineup. Any yep. interest in CJ Uzama Yates?
No, not in championship week.
For the Chiefs, okay, everybody's back. And we're obviously, I mean, we'll just say it. Like, you're writing off, obviously, last week with Tyreek Hill coming back from COVID. He was obviously said he was a little fatigued and everything like that. So he's obviously in your starting lineup, as is Travis Kelce, as is Patrick Mahomes. And we are assuming that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be ruled out for this game. So talk to Correct. Me about the running backs. How do you feel about Darrell Williams? Or if you're in a pinch, Derek Gore.
Yeah, I've got Darrell Williams at 15 on the week. Cincinnati, tougher run defense. So I've got Darrell Williams there at 15. And then Derek Gore is someone that you're playing because you have no other option. And if you're in championship week and you have no other option, that's really difficult. I can't see that happening. So Derek Gore is all the way outside my top 40 running backs on the week. He could rip off a long run. He could see some work here. He could fall into the end zone. But I think this is going to be Darrell Williams' backfield. So Derek Gore, really not someone that I'm looking at.
Yeah, I am starting Darrell Williams in a championship matchup. And, you know, look, he's you know, going to be involved in the passing game at the very least, and they trust him around the goal line as well. So I agree with you on all accounts there. Dolphins at the Titans. I mean, we're just avoiding. We finally have, like, the real excuse to completely avoid any Dolphins running back, right?
Yes, 100%. This was a situation last week where I was like, don't go anywhere near this backfield. And that certainly paid off against the Saints, right? So, yeah, this now you got Phillip Lindsay, you got Duke Johnson, Miles. Like, no, just don't go anywhere near this.
Stay as far away as humanly possible. Yes, where do you actually have Jaylen Waddle ranked this week?
I have Jaylen Waddle all the way up at 12 on the week.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Jaylen Waddle or Keenan Allen?
I will play Jaylen Waddle.
Got yeah,
two spots higher than Allen.
That's what I'm talking about, Yates. So there was this guy. He was uber reliable. Nobody ever really wanted to talk about him, but he never disappointed in a game. And then last week, he got zero official targets in the game against the Saints, and his name is Devontae Parker. Are you avoiding him against a team that's been better against wide receivers of late, but still gives up a ton of points to fantasy wide receivers?
Oh, this one hurt last week. I needed 3 points from Devontae Parker to advance to a championship. And so I did not get that, obviously. So now I'm playing for the third place title in this league. It killed me. So Devontae Parker is at 32 for me. We talked about Russell Gage at 31 for me, Darnell Mooney at 33, Devontae Parker sandwiched in between them. So I think you can still look his way, but you have to obviously be concerned that the ball could go completely to Jaylen Waddle like it did last week. And Devontae Parker just won't see any targets again.
Jaylen Waddle is so good, dude. It's so great to watch.
You know, there are players, and you talk about like hits and misses, and there are players that I absolutely whiffed on this year. Everyone does. Everyone as an analyst will just completely whiff on players 100%. But Jaylen Waddle still being like, I look back at a video that I did at the beginning of the offseason or like in draft season, and it was must have wide receivers, and Jaylen Waddle was near the top of the list. And I was like, him being at wide receiver 44 in ADP is just absurd. It's mind-blowing to me. And that was one that I absolutely hit this year. Jaylen Waddle has just been everything as advertised and more.
And he was 48th in ECR, which I only looked at because I was looking at my hits.
Word.
I was looking at my hits and misses yesterday, Yates, as to where I was. And it's a little horrifying when you do that. And you're like, oh, God, I didn't realize I was lower on this guy. That's bad. But I mean, I wasn't like crazy high on Waddle, but I had him, you know, 6 spots ahead. But yeah, such a bargain. And he's great. I have Devontae Parker at 35. I do think that he'll have a bounce back game here in this one. You know, last week was so bizarre, but still obviously less confidence than I otherwise would have had. How about Mike Gesicki, Yates? Are you starting him?
I think you can still look his way as a low end tight end one. Once you get outside, I mean, Kyle Pitts at tight end nine, then it's like Hunter Henry, Mike Gesicki, Gerald Everett, Tyler Higbee, Noah Fant, you know, like the other guys in that range. It's like, if you've got Gesicki, you're not finding a better option on the waiver wire, so you can still play him if you need to.
Borderline starter for me, and not Tua in this one, right?
I think you can look his way. I've got him at 14. Up against Tennessee, their secondary, you mentioned a little bit tighter here recently, but still a secondary that you can throw on. So, I think they're going to shut down the running game. So I think it creates some opportunity for Tua as a like streaming option, not someone that I'm ranking as a top 12 play, but someone that you can look at if you're in a pinch.
Tua or Russell Wilson?
I will still play Russell Wilson. I've got him at 12, Tua at 14.
Tua or Kirk Cousins?
I will go Tua. I'm scared of Kirk Cousins in this weather.
And primetime, Yates. Don't ever forget that. Yates, Miami doesn't allow a ton of points to running backs, man. They shut him down. How do you feel about Deonta Foreman?
Yeah, I've got him at 30 on the week. So someone that, you know, we could have played in plus matchups previously, but then last week, you know, he... fell into the end zone, but that was all if he hadn't done that, right, we are just absolutely, he absolutely busted. So I have concerns about Deontay Foreman this week. I would prefer to look at like AJ Dillon, Michael Carter, you know, even Saquon Barkley, Ramondre Stevenson all over Deontay Foreman this week.
AJ Brown didn't practice yesterday. I assume it's just a maintenance day going there. Yep. Yates, I mean, you know, Ryan Tannehill, we might have, you know, with AJ Brown back, obviously it changes sort of the passing offense. Maybe Julio Jones is back off the COVID list with the revised protocols. Any interest in starting Ryan Tannehill here?
I really don't. I've got him at QB 21. He's a fine, you know, super flex option, but in one QB leagues, there are so many other options that you can turn to. I will play Tyler Huntley over Ryan Tannehill this week pretty easily.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I have him at 20. All right, before we keep going, look, if you're listening to this, you're in your championship matchup, I hope, or your third place matchup, or you like us for whatever reason. So we appreciate that. But we got to find ways at this point to keep fantasy interesting. And that way is with Prize Picks. Here's all you do. Okay, pick 2 to 5 players, decide if they're going to go over or under their stat projections. You can do fantasy points like Yates and I just did with the fantasypros.com/challenge. Plenty of stats to choose from. Again, fantasy points if you want, but you can do yards, you know, passing yards, receiving yards, touchdowns, receptions, whatever you want. The more players you pick, the more you can win, up to 10 times your amount. You can do multi-sport entries. Will LeBron James go over under his point total? Will Patrick Mahomes go over or under his passing yards total? You can mix and match like that. Make your entries in less than a minute. 4.8 rating in the App Store. Take your game to a new level with Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Simplified. Use our promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% deposit match up to $100. Raiders at the Colts. I mean, I guess there's still a question mark about Carson Wentz.
Right.
I'm assuming that he's going to come off just based on the protocols, but we'll see. Talk to me about Michael Pittman if Wentz starts and if he does not start.
I'm currently ranking Pittman as if Wentz is going to come off the list, and that puts him at wide receiver 18 on the week for me. Some of that is still a very, very solid start. However, if we do have Sam Ehlinger as the starting quarterback here, I am going to drop Michael Pittman Jr. down my rankings. I studied Sam Ehlinger coming out of Texas, not someone who impresses you as a passer. So this is something that you definitely have to be concerned about if you do have Michael Pittman Jr. You're hoping that Carson Wentz plays.
Yeah, it feels like, I don't know, borderline wide receiver 3 if it's Ehlinger. Yates.
Right.
Is that around where you think you'll wind up with him?
Yeah.
Yep. You're starting Jonathan Taylor. Anybody else for the Colts? Do you have any interest in Carson Wentz? I mean, as a streamer, if he plays?
Potentially. In that same range of like, it would be close. Am I going to play Kirk Cousins? Am I going to play Carson Wentz? Mac Jones or Carson Wentz. So still outside of the top 15 for me, but if you're in a pinch, you could look his way.
Yates, I have made it clear that I don't like to look at where I am against ECR before lineup soccer, after lineup soccer, because I don't want to know, right? Like, I don't want to spend the entire Sunday sitting there being like, I can't believe I faded this guy versus like every other expert. It doesn't make me happy. Have to look at it sometimes for the Thursday game. So this week is very refreshing. But it always turns out when everything is said and done, after the week is over and everything like that, that I'm always higher on Josh Jacobs. And I guess I don't know why that necessarily is. Where do you have Josh Jacobs ranked in a matchup against a tough Indianapolis defense?
You're right. Tough run defense there with Indianapolis. I've got him at RB 17 on the week.
Yeah. Right now, Yates, he comes out at RB 10. And I guess I can't really figure out why. Like, I always start him. The volume is there. He's been more involved as a pass catcher. He'll be involved if they ever get towards the goal line. Like, I don't know, man. For whatever reason, I'm always like, yeah, start Josh Jacobs. So I'm going to apologize in advance. By the way, Yates is going to be doing the IG Live this week again. I'm going to be doing his YouTube stream. So apologize to everybody who asked me starts the questions with Josh Jacobs, because the answer is going to be Josh Jacobs. Yates, are we expecting Darren Waller back at this point, or he's now on the COVID list, so is he not going to clear the protocol?
Yeah, it very, very unlikely. Has not been ruled out officially as of the recording here, but I do think that it's very, very unlikely that he clears the COVID list in time to play. So looking at Foster Moreau here, in that same range of Cole Kmet, that CJ Uzomah that we talked about earlier, he's at tight end 18 for me.
Yeah, so he's a guy, again, who's been more productive lately, but not when you really needed him in those first couple of games. You were right. Like, here he comes, and then he was terrible. Hunter Renfrow's been, you know, disappointing a little bit here, Yates, with all of a sudden the target volume is gone against Indianapolis. Not the best matchup. What do you think?
Yeah, I still think that I'm comfortable playing Hunter Renfrow. I've got him at 17 on the week, so I would be playing Amon-Ra St. Brown over him, though. But then I'd be playing him over with DK Metcalf, Amari Cooper, Odell Beckham Jr. Like, I still feel pretty confident in Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah, I am at 17 as well. Yates, anybody else? I guess Bryan Edwards is going to be able to play in this game, is what they think. Zay Jones is quite. He's not going to be able to play?
No interest. Yeah, no.
Or Zay Jones or anything like that, right?
Nope.
Nobody?
Nope. Okay. They are all like desperation plays, and you shouldn't be having desperation plays in week 17.
Jaguars at the Patriots. Looks like both running backs here for the Pats are going to be there. So how do you feel about them?
I would be interested in rolling out both of them. I've got Damian Harris currently at RB14. He needs to come down just a little bit. That was still where we didn't have clarity on Ramondre Stevenson. So he'll come down just a little bit. But Ramondre Stevenson inside the top 24 for me. Definitely think you can look at both these guys. I think we could easily see both these running backs find the end zone here against Jacksonville. So I definitely think you can look at both of them.
Do you want to start any pass catcher for the Patriots?
I really don't want to. I think that you could look at Jacoby Myers and Kendrick Bourne. I've got them at 42 and 43 respectively. But yeah, you're playing them just out of desperation. And again, you haven't been relying on these guys over the past several weeks. So you really shouldn't have to be looking at them here in championship week.
Hunter Henry
at tight end 10 for me. Great opportunity to find the end zone here. Obviously, you have to account for the fact that he could go for 1 and 19, you know, or 1 and 10 or whatever. But, you know, he could easily find the end zone as well. So I've got him at tight end 10 on the week.
Yeah, that does just make him basically every tight end outside of the top 8 right. Is the guy who like, all right, hope you find the end zone or we might get a 2 for 12 day. But yes, I agree with you, and I don't love recommending Hunter Henry, but he did come out of 10 for me this week, so I'm fine, and I'm not going to mess with the projections too much when I get to that range of tight end. For the Jaguars, Yates, I mean, look, you don't want to start, you know, Dare Ogunbowale, but you might have to start him. Where is he in your running back rankings?
He's at 32, so okay. I really do not want to start him. We know who he is at this point of his career. He's going up against the New England Patriots, and I understand the Patriots' run defense is, you know, susceptible more than their passing game, but still, this is the Jacksonville Jaguars offense. They might get 5 first downs in this game. Like, I just don't feel confident in what we're going to see here. So, yeah, I've got him at 32 on the week. I'm not expecting to see what we did last week with him stepping in.
Ogunbowale or Rex Burkhead?
I've got
you Rex are forced Burkhead. To you're forced to start one of
gosh,
them.
Gosh, that's a terrible. I've got Rex Burkhead at 36, so I guess in that situation I would go with Dare, but yeah, not feeling confident in either one of them.
We have found the Dare line. Yeah, I'm at 29. I don't want to start him either, you know, but I'm starting him in the Fantasy Bros Dynasty Invitational against Boone. Yates, let's go. Let's get him fired up there. Anybody else, Yates, James O'Shaughnessy, or any pass catcher?
No, this is really a situation. There's no upside. You know, Trevor Lawrence hasn't thrown a passing touchdown since week 8. So, like, there's...
That might be the craziest stat.
It's right? Ridiculous.
That's so ridiculous.
So, yeah, there's no upside for any of these guys. I mean, Laquan Treadwell has actually been the most consistent option. And up against New England, I just don't want to play that game.
Name me a DST you would start over the Patriots.
I don't think I can.
That is the correct answer. Number one DST on the week. Bucks at Jets. Bucks second DST on the week for me anyway. Yeah. For the Jets, Yates, Tevin Coleman is on the COVID list. And again, even with the changed protocols, it's still 5 days. So if you're getting put on the list now, I assume that means you're out for the week. So Michael Carter now, I mean, really doesn't have very much competition here. Where do you have him ranked?
I have him currently at 26. I do need to move him up with the Tevin Coleman news. Didn't get a chance to do that yesterday. So Michael Carter will probably move up to RB20 on the week. There's going to be volume. The Buccaneers, I talked about this on the Wednesday Start Sit show, saying that the Buccaneers allow, I think it's 6.8 receptions per game to opposing running backs. So we could see, even though Zach Wilson doesn't necessarily target the running backs a ton here, we've seen that more with Mike White and Joe Flacco. But I do think that this is going to be the recipe for success, is get Michael Carter the ball here this week. So I think he's going to see a ton of volume. I think you can roll him out there in your starting lineups.
Yeah, he's a real tough player for me, actually, Yates, because obviously, you know, the run defense is very good, but they are susceptible to pass catching backs. But he's the only weapon that they have, which means like they're going to know, OK, wherever Michael Carter goes, we need several guys going with him. But I agree with you, kind of like a low end RB2 is where he's going to wind up. Anybody else on the Jets?
Yates? Absolutely not.
Absolutely, with confidence. So for the Bucs, Yates, I guess we're just starting everybody who plays. But, you know, I mentioned my cousin who said, and it's a fair concern, like, isn't there a chance that they're just going to win this game, like, you know, by 30 points easily and Brady's not going to have to do anything and everything like that? So there is a concern. But Brady checks in at my third quarterback. I mean, is he that high for you as well?
I've got him at five, definitely in the territory. But yeah, I definitely think that he could easily do the like two passing touchdowns, three passing touchdowns in the first quarter, you know, whatever. And then they lean on the run game from there. So there's concern, but that's really the situation with most streaming quarterbacks and most positive matchups for these guys that are facing off against teams that are terrible against the run and the pass, right? So with New York, that's what we have. We could easily see the run game take over, like we were talking about with Carson Wentz and Jonathan Taylor, you know, just a couple weeks ago up against Houston. It's like Jonathan Taylor could have a monstrous game, or Carson Wentz could have three passing touchdowns, or Carson Wentz could have zero passing touchdowns because they all go to Jonathan Taylor, right? There's some variables, so you have to be concerned. But at the same time, if you're not going to play Tom Brady, who has been a massive part of why you are in your championship game, or why you are at least competing deep into the playoffs, and it's like, why would you sit him here against the New York Jets?
All right, Cousin Ryan, listen up. Yates is telling you to start Tom Brady. I agree, by the way, with it, of course. All right, so with the running game, Yates, you know, I want to push Ronald Jones higher in my rankings, but he's nine right now, which is plenty high. But it feels like I want to rank him fifth, and that's where fantasy managers want to start him. Where do you have him this week?
I have him at five. So yeah. I am 100% playing Ronald Jones, and there are very, you know, when you talk about like the start sit with Josh Jacobs, and people are going to ask about Ronald Jones, the answer is most likely going to be Ronald Jones. This is a situation where you got to start Ronald Jones as a top five play against the New York Jets run defense here. You got it.
It's splitting hairs, man, because it's like, I don't want to bench Joe Mixon for him. That's sort of where I am. But regardless, yes, start Ronald Jones, you crazy bastards. Okay, for wide receiver Yates, I have Antonio Brown right now as a top five wide receiver. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Oh, as a top five. I am not there. I have him at nine. So we flipped it with Ronald Jones and Antonio Brown. But I think, you know, he's a locked in play.
One thing to remember, and I actually think that this narrative, I forgot who tweets it out. I think Adam Levitan from Establish the Run tweets out all the incentives. And you know Brady loves Brown and wants to get him there. I think Brown needs like 280 yards over his last two games or something like that to reach some sort of incentive. So I could see Brady just being like, here you go. Here, you're going to get it. So I do think this is a good game for Brown. And by the way, all the narrative around like, oh, they're going to dominate, blah, blah, blah. That's just narrative. As you can see, I have Tom Brady at three and Antonio Brown at four for me right now. Probably I'll switch him with Debo when all is said and done, but I'm not concerned about it. And Yates, we're not expecting Mike Evans, right? I mean, I know he's on the COVID list, but it sounds like he's off it or he's back at practice or whatever. But in a game they're going to win handily, we're not expecting them to push him with that hamstring, right?
No, I think that they play it safe. They just, you know, he was still listed as week to week. So I'm really not expecting him back this week. And even if he does, I don't know why they would bring him back, right? Yeah. You mentioned it. Like, they're gearing up for a deep playoff run. It's like, just keep Mike Evans healthy. Keep him out one more game. So, yeah, if he plays, I mean, low-end wide receiver, too, I think you have to consider him based on the matchup, but I'm not expecting a ton.
And Rob Gronkowski, again, quiet here for a couple games, but you're still starting him, right?
Yes, up against the Jets. Yeah, you're still starting Rob Gronkowski. I've got him at four on the week.
And no other wide receiver, right? Like, on the Bucs.
No. We're not... Okay. Unpredictable enough.
Very good. Eagles at the Washington football team. Running backs, Yates. I mean, right now, again, it's very up in the air. We saw Jordan Howard return to practice looking a little bit like Thanos with all the extra padding that he had on him. So let's talk about it. Both Jordan Howard and Boston Scott start. What are you doing? And then if Jordan Howard is out, what are you doing, Boston Scott?
With both of them active, I'm starting Jordan Howard. I've got him at 22 on the week, and then Boston Scott just outside my top 30. So I think that the work is going to go to Jordan Howard primarily here. And then if Howard were to miss this game, then Boston Scott would move up into top 20 play. I think you have to, based on the fact that it's going to be him and Kenneth Gainwell. And we know that Philadelphia is going to run the ball. And Washington at this point, like, they're not playing for anything. So it's really a situation where we could see them just kind of pack it in. So I think Boston Scott would move up into top 20 territory if Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders obviously were to miss this game.
Jalen Hurts wound up with a good fantasy game last week, but he didn't run at all. Any concerns about Hurts in this one?
I've got him at six on the week, so still someone that you definitely can roll out there confidently. It's, you know, I've got him over Justin Herbert against Denver, Dak Prescott with his recent history up against Arizona. So I still think that you can look his way.
Devontae Smith came through last week. Yates, for fantasy managers, is he going to again?
I can't confidently say that. You know, it's a great matchup against
Washington. Your job, man. Yes,
hey,
or no?
Is he going to come through? I can't confidently say that with Jalen Hurts as his quarterback. Cannot confidently say that. But I've got DeVonta Smith at 25 on the week. So definitely think he's worthy of being considered for starting lineups again here. We know that he has tremendous upside. He has the talent. It's a great matchup. But there is also the possibility, like we saw Dallas Goedert suffer last week, you know, in favor of DeVonta Smith. So it's a little bit unpredictable here as far as which one of these guys is going to have the good game. So you got to account for that in rankings. But I definitely think you can still roll out DeVonta Smith.
DeVonta Smith or Odell Beckham Jr., Yates?
I will play Odell. I've got him at 21 on the week.
DeVonta Smith or Hollywood Brown?
I will play DeVonta Smith there. I've got Marquise Brown down at 28.
He has been disappointing for quite a bit. How about Dallas Goedert, Yates, coming off, you know, bad game. Could have been a bigger game, obviously, without the penalty. So no issues here starting him.
I've got him at 8 on the week. So definitely think you can still look his way and think that he belongs. You know, again, it's like once you get past you know, Zach Ertz, Dalton Schultz, like, and into Kyle Pitts territory, it's like after that, who are you going to be starting over Dallas Goedert? So still could, you know, give you that 2 for 20 line. But again, most tight ends can do that or you could absolutely blow up. So still got to account for that. Goddard still in starting lineups.
Championship week, Yates. Give me some running backs who you would start over Antonio Gibson.
Gibson's a tough evaluation right now because he also, I think he missed yesterday's practice completely.
Yeah.
So that's something too, where it's like, I'm going to answer that question as if Gibson is playing. So at that point, I will play Darrell Williams, Rashad Penny, Ezekiel Elliott, Aaron Jones. Like I will play those guys over Antonio Gibson. He's at RB 16 on the week for me. Assuming that he can't go, then obviously, you know, that's a different conversation. You're starting a ton of other running backs over Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, can we just put it out there? If Antonio League Gibson winning does not analysis, play,
right there.
You should start 80 other running backs ahead of Antonio Gibson, yes. I'm with you. That's what I want to sort of put it out there. Like, he's a low-end, kind of borderline RB2, but I'm starting Rashad Penny over him, for sure. I'm starting Darrell Williams over him. Like, absolutely. I have no issue with doing that. Yates, I mean, Terry McLaurin, man. He's just disappointed for pretty much the entire season. He gets Darius Slay again here. Where do you have him ranked?
I have him at 29, and I don't feel confident in that. You know, that it's really sad because I love Terry McLaurin, and I think that he could be a top 5 fantasy producer if he had competent quarterback play, but this is just not working this year. It's not working. And so McLaurin, there's a very good possibility that he moves even further down than this, than 29 by the time we get to line a rankings lock on Sunday.
Yep, I agree. Nobody else on the Washington football team, right?
Correct.
For the Ravens, I mean, Yates, my guess is we're going to hear that Lamar Jackson is ruled out. But we can analyze it both ways. He just, you know, he practiced Wednesday, looked real gimpy, and then didn't practice Thursday. But analyze it both ways. If Lamar Jackson starts, are you starting him? If he doesn't, are you willing to start Tyler Huntley?
I think even if he starts, seeing that video of him just like limping around the field was just, you know, you're like, there's no way that he can play. And even if he does play, he's not going to be Lamar. And the reason why we like Lamar Jackson for fantasy football is his mobility and what he can do as a runner. So there's absolutely no way. I'm anticipating that he's not going to suit up here. I have Tyler Huntley at 15 on the week. In place of Lamar Jackson. So even if Lamar plays, though, I think that you got to put him like in that Ryan Tannehill, Davis Mills, Jared Goff territory, right? Like you can't confidently start Lamar Jackson, even if he is the starter for Baltimore.
Yeah, and I'm getting again, the other one is the Trey Lance versus either Lamar or either Tyler Huntley. Like it's Lance for me. I realize that there's uncertainty, but there's Yates, I can't imagine against this defense that suddenly Lamar Jackson just going to come out with a big game after what we saw on Wednesday, right? I mean, it's been weeks since his ankle injury. So,
well, and two, it's not like Lamar Jackson was producing as like the QB1 when he was healthy and before the injury. So you have to downgrade him.
So you mentioned Hollywood Brown. Is that ranking of him, which I think you said, 28 at wide receiver? Is that's assuming Huntley starts?
Yeah, and I mean, it really wouldn't change with Lamar Jackson starting, right? Like, it's not like Marquise Brown has been producing even with Lamar Jackson as quarterback. So, yeah, he's someone low. He'll bring you a safe floor. He'll see targets, but just not happening. He hasn't finished with more than 10 half PPR points since week 9. So this is just someone that you really cannot feel confident starting as a, you know, as high of upside as we were.
Of course, you're starting Mark Andrews. Forget the running backs. Starting any pass catcher other than Brown and Andrews this week for the Ravens.
No, I'm not looking at Rashad Bateman, not in this matchup. I know he found the end zone last week, but not in this matchup.
Yates, an inactive Antonio Gibson or a Baltimore running back in this game?
Inactive Antonio Gibson. This backfield, Baltimore was just, I was something where we felt confident in Devontae Freeman, and then it has just kind of just fallen off a cliff. So Devontae Freeman at 34 for me, Latavius Murray off the radar.
Yeah, Devontae Freeman is currently at 34 for me, but I'm looking at my rankings. I'm like, no, that's got to fall to like 38 right off the bat. So, I agree. Avoid entirely. For the Rams, you're starting, of course, Cooper Kupp. Let's talk about the other wide receivers, though, Yates. Odell and Van Jefferson, who we have referenced already in this one. Both guys sort of wide receiver three-ish for you?
Odell Beckham Jr. is a low-end wide receiver two for me. I feel more confident in him than Van Jefferson. Jefferson just struggling over the past couple weeks. I know the opportunity has been there, and I know that the matchup here against Baltimore is fantastic, but I think we have to account for that a little bit in rankings where he has a lower floor just because we've seen it over the past couple weeks. So Jefferson is more of a flex play for me. I've got him as a low-end wide receiver three, So someone that you definitely plug into your lineup because he brings tremendous upside, but you have to account for the fact that he does have a lower floor.
Yeah, and how about Stafford here, Yates? Again, we mentioned him. He's been, you know, as always, looks a little banged up, but man, you can exploit the Ravens through the air. So where do you have him ranked?
I have him at 3 this week. I think that this is a game where we start Matthew Stafford 100%.
I love it. Aggressive. For the running backs, Yates, obviously no Darrell Henderson. I'll mention Cam Akers in a second, but where do you have Sonny Michel ranked in a tough matchup here against Baltimore?
Yep, tougher matchup on the ground. So I've got Sonny Michel at RB9. I think that you can confidently start him, but might not have, you know, the top five upside, but definitely still belongs in starting lineups.
And Yates, you're going to get a question on Instagram, I promise you, about Cam Akers. If he is active.
I got them last week.
I don't expect Cam Akers to be active, actually, in this game. Maybe. Yeah. But even if he is, Yates, not going anywhere near him, correct?
Nope. Even if he is active, he's not gonna suddenly walk back in and be like, here's the 28 carries that Sonny Michel's getting. You know, like, there's no way. No way. So I think that if Akers is active, he's going to see like 3-4 carries just to be able to kind of get his feet back underneath him. But no, you cannot, even if he is active, you cannot look his way.
Yates, there is a tight end going against Baltimore in this game. His name is Tyler Higbee. Do you want to start him?
I think you can. I've got him at 13. Baltimore allowing the sixth most fantasy points to opposing tight ends this year. Again, I talked about where I've got Matthew Stafford up at QB3. So if I've got Stafford that high, then I think that we can look Tyler Higbee's way.
I'm definitely going to be starting Tyler Higbee in at least one championship matchup, and I'm going to feel dirty, but I think it's going to be okay. Broncos at the Chargers. Austin Eckler is back. Yates, do you think Justin Jackson is going to factor in at all here after that huge game last week?
I think he'll factor in, but not enough for me to feel confident looking his way from a fantasy perspective. So I think you'll see some work, but even with that being the case and me projecting that, I still have Austin Eckler at RB4 on the week. You know, like, you're still rolling out Eckler with supreme confidence. So Justin Jackson, though, way down the list for me.
I'm starting Austin Eckler, too. I have him third. I will say, though, Yates, in the back of my mind, it is the Allen Robinson, I lost 10 pounds. Tyreek Hill, I was exhausted. Tyler Lockett, I was exhausted. And Eckler did have symptoms. He talked about it on the show with Liz Loza. So I really hope, you know, given the fact that we've been a little bit out here from the time that he had COVID, that he is back to 100% and ready to fully go. But I do have that in the back of my mind, just as a little worry as to whether or not he's 100%. With that said, unless I hear something about that, I'm ranking him obviously top quarterback. Yes. And Justin Herbert, Yates, are you willing, you know, to roll the dice after last week's kind of weird game?
Yeah, definitely weird game. I'm willing to roll the dice. I've got him at 7. Denver, tougher matchup. We saw them shut down Joe Burrow just a couple weeks ago. So I do have concerns here. But again, Herbert's, been a big reason for why you got to this point. So I think you can still look his way as a mid-range QB1.
And how about the receivers here, Yates? Everyone's back. So, you know, Mike Williams is back. You've got still Keenan Allen, obviously Palmer scored the touchdown last week. How do you feel about all the receivers, really?
Yeah, so Keenan Allen is at 14 on the week for me. Feel pretty confident with that ranking. Bryce Callahan landing on the COVID list for Denver as the slot corner. So we should see, I think, Kyle Fuller move back into the slot there to guard him. So a little bit more room to roam there with Keenan Allen. Feel confident in him. Mike Williams, I've said, like, I cannot confidently rank or accurately rank Mike Williams this entire year. So we have no idea what we're going to get from him week in and week out. I've got him at 27 currently. There's a possibility that he rises, but still someone that I do have concerns about. And then after that, you know, I was excited about Josh Palmer. He's someone now that is he's just inside my top 48 wide receivers on the week. You know, just, we don't know what his role is going to be. Do we have we heard anything about Jalen Guyton?
No, actually, I haven't. Unless I missed it, I didn't see that he was activated.
That's been my thing, too. I've been looking to see if I could find anything on Jalen Guyton, because if he is active, then Josh Palmer's completely off the radar. But if Guyton isn't cleared or, you know, is not active for this game, then Palmer, it would remain in that, like, top 48. So a flex in deeper formats.
Jared Cook Yates at all?
Desperation play. You know, I've got him at 15, so you're playing him just for the opportunity that he could find the end zone, but that's really it.
I do like when I ask a question, you're like, that's how I feel about most of my decisions this week. Running back to Yates against the Chargers, that's usually good, but we assume Drew Locke is going to be starting in this one. At least that was the report earlier in the week. So how do you feel about both Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, who combined for, like, I don't know, 15 yards rushing last week?
I think that's generous. with Javonte Williams, with Melvin Gordon, I've got them at 19 and 23 respectively, with Williams being at 19. So I think with Drew Locke being the starting quarterback, I do have concerns about what this offense is going to be able to do. Are they going to even be able to move the ball? Are they going to be able to pick up first downs? I understand the matchup is great on the ground, and we could see Denver completely commit to the run game, but, you know, just say, like, we're not going to put the ball in Drew Locke's hands, which is why I do not like any of the receiving options this week. You have to be concerned with that, but based on what we saw last week, you can't feel confident ranking these guys as top 15 plays.
Yeah, is there anybody else really on the Broncos who you'd consider starting? I mean, I think the closest for me might be Judy, who I have at wide receiver 40.
It would be Judy for me, and I have Judy at 45, you know, and Noah Fant at 14 in my tight end ranking.
Yeah, I'm 16. I'm running. I don't want any part of it. I will be forced to start Albert O again in the Dynasty Invitational against Boone, because that's where we are. But yeah, just with Drew Locke, not like the value of any of these guys was great with Bridgewater, but Drew Locke absolutely kills the value of everyone, right?
Exactly. Okay.
Very good. Texans at the 49ers. Brandon Cooks returns here. Yates against the secondary. That's just AJ Brown made look ridiculous. Are you starting Cooks with confidence in this one?
I've got him at 24 on the week, so definitely someone that you can roll out there.
I assume you just saw the same notification that I did, Yates, which we will get to when we get to the Lions game. And look, we haven't even gotten to the Lions game yet, so it works out well. We'll get there. Yes. Our Rex Burkhead just won people their semifinals if they were brave enough to start him. Although I will say this, I am in a league with Andy Behrens where he started Rex Burkhead and the Dallas defense and still lost, and he lost by half a point, and I felt terrible for him. Anyway, are you starting Rex Burkhead in this game?
No. Rex Burkhead up against the San Francisco 49ers run defense. It's a much tougher unit than the Los Angeles Chargers. So I would prefer to look elsewhere than Rex Burkhead. And most likely you have better options than Burkhead.
And so it's usual deal, right? Start Cooks, avoid everybody else.
Yes. Yep. Completely.
Very good. 49ers. Yates. I mean, look, we talked about Trey Lance, but let's get into it a little bit. Like, start with this. Name me some QBs who you are starting Trey Lance over right now.
I will start Trey Lance over Kyler Murray. I will start him over Russell Wilson, Taysom Hill, Tua Tagovailoa, Tyler Huntley. That's really the range. Kirk Cousins. Like, I am feeling very confident in Trey Lance and his upside. I talked about this again a little bit earlier, but like, the unknown, and I got a question on the Discord stages of like Trey Lance or Taysom Hill. And it's like, well, both kind of fall into the same bucket, but for different reasons, right? Trey Lance has a lower floor just because like we don't know exactly what he's going to be. We haven't seen him in a long time. So we don't exactly know what we're going to get, but the upside is through the roof up against Houston. With Taysom Hill, he has a lower floor because of his play, but he has a higher ceiling because of his rushing ability. So I will go with Trey Lance because of his ability. He got 16 carries the first game that he was out here earlier this season against Arizona. He was inches away from finding the end zone, which I remember he got stopped on like fourth and goal, at the goal line, right? Inches. So he would have been a top 12 quarterback if he had been able to cross the goal line there. And that was against Arizona, right? This is up against Houston. So Trey Lance has top five upside this week. I wouldn't be shocked. I would love to see it. I wouldn't be shocked if he finishes the QB1 on the week, you know, just because of the matchup and because of his rushing ability and what he can do on the ground. So I am really, really bullish on Trey Lance this week. I think that he's going to win people some fantasy championships.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I do have Murray still a spot ahead of Lance, but I can't, you know, crush you for having it the other way whatsoever. Yeah, I think so too. I guess the question for me, Yates, is in a game where they are, last I saw on Betting Pros, they were favored by 12.5 points at this one. You probably don't think Lance needs to chuck the ball around all that much. Does that lower your evaluation, maybe not of Deebo Samuel as much because he's basically a quasi running back, but certainly of either Brandon Ayuk or George Kittle.
Well, it's the same thing with, we talked about, like with the streaming matchups with Brady and the New York Jets. It's like where you have these positive matchups that are great for both running backs and wide receivers. There is some volatility because you could see the points flow one specific way rather than, you know, spread out evenly. So I think with Ayuk, he's someone that you have to consider as a top 24 play because of the matchup, because of his upside. But you also have to recognize that he has a lower floor because all the points could go to the running backs. They could, you know, we could see them just lean on the run game, especially with Trey Lance involved. Like we could see them run the ball 30 plus times in this one with Deebo Samuel, with Elijah Mitchell if he plays, with Jeff Wilson, whatever the case may be. So you have to account for that, but yet at the same time, there's ridiculous upside with Ayuk.
Yeah, I have Ayuk lower yet. I'll be honest. I have him at 33 just because I don't trust Lance yet as a passer, and I don't know how many pass attempts we're going to need to see. And I think the difference between this one and a game like Brady is that, like, we don't know. You can give the running backs, you know, 25 carries if you want in this game, but you also might see Lance have, again, 15 carries, and that's really going to chew up the plays that you're going to have. You don't have that with, like, a Tom Brady type of thing, so I really could see the pass attempts limited. You're obviously starting George Kittle. You're obviously starting Deebo Samuel, but for me, Ayuk is a guy who I still have ranked as a wide receiver three, but a little lower end. Meanwhile, the running backs, Yates, Elijah Mitchell's return to limited practice. I guess break it down for me. If Elijah Mitchell goes, where you rank him and Wilson? And then if Mitchell is out, where you would rank Wilson?
Ton of questions already this week about Elijah Mitchell. And I think that here's the breakdown. If Elijah Mitchell plays, you're playing him. Like, he's going to be good enough to go. You know what the workload is when he's healthy and active. So up against Houston, he would be a borderline top 12 play for me, maybe even higher than that. So, you know, he's locked into starting lineups. I just need to see what the practice reports are here today and then, you know, just to see what the news is leading up to the weekend. But with if he can't go, then Jeff Wilson immediately just gets plugged right back in, right? I probably would play him as a top 15 play. I wouldn't have him as high as Mitchell, but I still think the upside is absolutely there.
So I would definitely start Mitchell as well. I have him a little lower right now. I'm ranking him as if he's going to play. I'm at 17. And really the reason, just as Yates, is part of his value comes from the overwhelming volume that he has, right? He just dominates those touches.
Right.
Given that it's his first game back, given how favored they are, I could see them basically not giving him, right, the 23 or 24 carries or whatever.
Sure. That we've and Trey Lance, expect. Too. He'll take some of those the overall
exactly,
rush
right.
attempts.
That'll probably make him more efficient, but might give him less volume necessarily. So again, a guy though who I would roll out with confidence, just a little lower than you. But again, if he does not start, then I am rolling out Jeff Wilson, who again, who has come through for the most part for fantasy managers of late, to my great happiness, as you well know. Cardinals at the Cowboys, Yates. So you mentioned it. You're obviously no longer ranking Kyler Murray here as like just this top five option anymore, right?
Yeah. I mean, last week he had like that 55-yard run, right? Like that really was what boosted his fantasy stock. So I do think that we have to be at least a little bit concerned here with, you know, last week he had 245 passing yards, one touchdown, but then the 74 yards rushing, which was what boosted his stock. So I think with Murray up against Dallas has just been playing lights out, you know, recently. So I do think that we have to be concerned. I've got him at 11 on the week.
Christian Kirk, Yates, disappointed last week, not the best matchup this week either. So where do you have him ranked?
I still think that the ball is going to Christian Kirk in this offense, you know, more than it's Zach Ertz, it's Christian Kirk, it's not AJ Green. I still think that Kirk is worthy of top 24 consideration. I've got him at 22 on the week.
Yeah, I've got him at 27, so fading him a little bit. But again, I'm starting him in a league, and I feel relatively confident about it. And again, Zach Ertz now, especially, the target volume is just overwhelming at this point. You just leave him in. Okay, for the running backs, Yates, again, it sounds like Connor is going to be a game day decision, you know, again. So, look, break it down for me. Connor starts. Where do you have both him and Edmonds ranked? Connor's out. How high do you have Edmonds?
Yeah, if Connor comes back this week, and that's a big if at this point, then I don't think he's going to receive his normal workload. You're betting on a touchdown. So I would probably have him just around like Cordell Patterson, right, as a low-end RB2, and then Chase Edmonds would probably be a high-end RB3. Like, they'd be a lot closer than what they have in weeks past. But if Connor can't go, then Chase Edmonds right now is parked at RB20 for me. I think that he would see plenty of work, again, as a receiver out of the backfield. We're seeing Kyler Murray kind of struggle to move the ball, and he's checking it down quite a bit. So it's obviously great for Chase Edmonds. I had to start him last week, and it worked out.
Yes.
But I don't know. Up against Dallas, Dallas is a tough run defense as well. Wait, so I'm not expecting. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Did you say if Connor can't go, you would have Edmonds at 20?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. You're way too low. You got to move. If that's the case, man, you've got to. Because Edmonds, if he's going to get all that volume and he's going to get the work in the passing game yet, so you think the passing game gives him a higher floor than that?
Potentially. But again, it's a tougher matchup. Dallas has been playing really, really well here recently. So I think that's kind of just in flux, too. Like, he could move up by the time. Again, we've got a lot of players. Like, I'm still ranking, yes, Antonio Gibson. Like, and Damian Harris, I talked about, will move down. Like, there's a lot that will shift and move. So that ranking him at 20, that might turn into 17 by the time that we get to Sunday. But I'm not going to suddenly vault Chase Edmonds all the way up to like RB12 status. I don't feel comfortable doing that.
All right. I'm pretty sure I will be doing that if Connor is out. But I do hope at the very least that we get the overnight Schefter tweet that tells us what's going to happen in that game. Because right, it's a late game. It's a 4 o'clock or 4:25 game here on the East Coast. And if we don't know, man, I feel for the fantasy managers who have to make that decision. For the Cowboys, Yates, we're just still starting Zeke, right? I mean,
yep,
he's gonna fall into the end zone at some point, I assume. How about Tony Pollard, Yates, if you're in a deeper league?
Deeper league, you can look his way, but as a flex option. I've got him outside my top 30 running backs on the week.
All the receivers for the Cowboys, Yates, break it down.
I will go with CeeDee Lamb still as the main guy here. I've got him at 13, Cooper at 20, and then Michael Gallup down at 38. So I still think that Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, they're solid starts, but you just don't know which one is going to have that like pop-off game. So I think you can still start both of those guys. Michael Gallup moves down into flex consideration.
It gives me great confidence, Yates, when you call out numbers for players, and I have identical numbers. So legit identical numbers for all three wide receivers. Wow, well done. I know. You're starting Dalton Schultz, right, in this one?
Yes. Yep, Dalton Schultz. Of course, the 1 week that I point out that he was starting to struggle and hadn't been really producing much, the next week, and I fade him, the next week he goes off, and then he's been a very, very solid option over the past 2 weeks. So, yeah, I've got Dalton Schultz at 7.
Yeah, it's, Dak is 5th for me, but I could easily move him to 9th if I took away, like, 12 passing yards for his projection. So, but he's somewhere in that range, and you're starting him, right?
Yes, I've got him at 8.
Panthers at the Saints, Yates. I think the easiest way to do this is, who on the Panthers do you want to start in this game?
Do I want to start? None of them. DJ Moore, I will still start. I've got him at 23 on the week. So tough, you know, with Marshawn Lattimore potentially guarding him, we could see him being shut down, but the Saints are still allowing a ton of fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. So it's just a question of, can Sam Darnold actually get him the ball? So I've got him at 23, but I do not feel confident in that ranking.
Yeah, how about the running backs, Yates? I mean, Chuba Hubbard did gain you 9 yards, woo, leading rusher last week for the bat. You're not going anywhere near either.
No, not against Dula, the Saints, right? No.
Very good. Yes, I agree, and I really look forward to, I'm very excited for the day now that we don't have to talk about Robbie Anderson. Yates, I'm getting a lot of questions about Alvin Kamara, I think part of what it is obviously the injuries to the offensive line, but it was the fact that, you know, man, whether or not it was just the fact that they were starting Ian Book, but he didn't, like, look particularly good, right? You didn't see the Pat did Kamara kind of like shuffle or make moves. He kind of looked gimpy out there. People really want an excuse to bench Alvin Kamara this week when they're looking at guys like Ronald Jones up here, right? Or they want to do something like that. Are you confidently still starting Alvin Kamara this week?
I am, because it's Alvin Kamara. And we're going to see Taysom Hill back at quarterback. We're not going to see Ian Book, who, I mean, I watched Ian Book's college film. I could have predicted that the offense was going to look as poor as it did on Monday night. That game was just brutal to watch. It was one of the ones where you're like, why am I watching this right now? Alvin Kamara for me is RB7. So I would start Ronald Jones over him, Joe Mixon, Austin Eckler. But then it's an interesting conversation with guys like David Montgomery, Sony Michel, into that territory, but I'm still starting Alvin Kamara. Again, he's a big reason why you got to this point. So yeah, I still feel confident in playing Alvin Kamara. I think we're going to see things bounce back a little bit here this week.
Yeah, I am too. I have him at, lower than I usually do, but it's RB6, right? Like, this is something where there is no debate for me, and I just want to get that out there because, I've probably answered like 100 questions so far this week, and probably 6 or 7 of them have been like questions about Alvin Kamara for like guys who are usually ranked as strong RB2s, and no, there's no question. So how about Hill though, Yates? He is another point person with Trey Lance, who people are like, Hill or Lance? Hill or Lance? Where do you have him ranked this week?
I have Hill at 13 on the week. Definitely think you can look his way. It's a tough decision between like Russell Wilson and Taysom Hill, right? With Wilson, do you want the upside with the matchup up against Detroit and their defense, or do you want Taysom Hill with his high rushing floor, right? That's a tough decision for me to make, but I've got Russell Wilson at 12 currently, Taysom Hill at 13.
Yeah, man, I'm with you, except that I have that flipped. So I have Taysom Hill right now at 13, although I have Lamar Jackson at 12. I'm expecting him to be out, and I'll probably move him down, and then Wilson one spot behind him. But either way you go, they're basically projected the same. No one else in the Saints, right, Yates?
Nope.
Lions at the Seahawks. The news that came across, which I said, is that Jared Goff is now doubtful with his knee injury, so it is going to be Tim Boyle. Yates, does this, I mean, probably not after last week, does this matter to you with Amon-Ra St. Brown?
It'll tick him down a couple of spots. It'll move him down to like wide receiver 20. So I'll play Amari Cooper over Amon-Ra St. Brown. But yet at the same time, like if you've got St. Brown, you're starting him. Even with Tim Boyle, we saw that Amon-Ra St. Brown can be he's a stud. And this is something where I was extremely in on Amon-Ra St. Brown to begin the year. Thought that he was going to have a role immediately. That didn't happen. But looking at his USC tape, this was something where you could see this was coming. And the opportunity was here in Detroit. He's now producing in a big, big way. So Amon-Ra St. Brown will probably move down to wide receiver 20 for me.
All fantasy analysts get some things wrong, Yates. Allow me to certainly give you the kudos for it, because you really loved Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I remember referencing something in a preseason video where I was like, my guy Yates thinks he's going to have a role this year. I'm off him for this year. I think long term it'll be great. He is a guy who, the fact that he came through last week where people were probably forced to start him, right? Because you were like, all right, I got to go with it. There's nothing else I can do. And he came through in that game. Just fantastic for fantasy managers. I agree. Right now, I have him at 14 with Goff. I'm probably going to drop him three spots, maybe four spots, but start him with confidence for sure. It sounds like DeAndre Swift is coming back here, Yates. So yeah, this one's hard for me.
This is a really tough one.
I don't know what to project for him in his first game back. So where are you slotting him in your rankings?
Oh, man. Right now, he's at RB27. And, you know, that's just based on like, okay, I need more clarity. I need to figure out what exactly is going on here. That will not be where he ends up, you know, just based on Sunday rankings locking. So DeAndre Swift, if he's coming back here in a game where they don't have Jared Goff, they're rolling out Tim Boyle. We know that Detroit is doing nothing, right? They're playing for nothing.
Right.
Then DeAndre Swift has to be healthy enough to receive his normal workload, right?
Right.
Like, that's the logical assumption, right? So at that point, up against Seattle, who is a fantastic matchup for opposing running backs from a fantasy perspective, then he'll probably be a top 15 play for me. But I just do not have supreme confidence right now. Like, I got a ton of questions again about DeAndre Swift. And I was like, here's the thing. With Swift, there's a ton of variables. So if you have other options, then I would play them over Swift. But and I can live with the potential range of outcomes of Swift on my bench, you know, going off for a touchdown and, you know, 70 yards or whatever. But if I need Swift, then I will play him this week. That's kind of the thought process here with DeAndre Swift.
It's really, really tough to sort of figure out exactly what to do with the guy. The big thing with Seattle, Yates, which is always interesting to me, is that they're not that bad against running backs on the ground. They don't give up that many rushing yards to them. They give up a ton of fantasy points, but so much of it comes through the air. And you would think that's good for DeAndre Swift, except for the fact that since Dan Campbell took over play calling duties, like, that part of his game had evaporated and he's sort of become the more traditional guy. If they use him, like, sort of, we all assume that he would be used, and he was used earlier on in the year, he could dominate in this game if he gets sort of normal workload. But yeah, this is tough. Right now, Yates, I have slotted him in at 16 for me right now, because I do think that if he starts, he's just got to get 75% of what he used to get. And that's enough for me to basically roll him out there in a matchup. Again, if you have Swift, it's really tough to see that you made it this far. Kudos to you if you did. But if so, I'd probably start him. Anybody else here, Yates, on the Lions?
Nope.
Very good. For the Seahawks, I guess, Yates, what are you doing with the receivers here? They've kind of disappointed, obviously, for DK Metcalf in particular for a while.
Yeah, Metcalf finally found the end zone last week, but it took a freaking blizzard for it to happen. It sounds about right. Tyler Lockett for me is at wide receiver 15, DK Metcalf at wide receiver 18. So both these guys with the matchup against Detroit, you definitely need to be considering them for your starting lineup. But, you know, in normal, you know, like previous Seahawks in instances, like, you would have Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf in this matchup as top 10 locks, but just not happening here this year. So you got to downgrade them slightly.
Yeah, and I will say, like, Lockett was coming through for a while for fantasy matches. I just meant more of this last game. And Rashad Penny, Yates, I mean, yeah, I kind of feel like I'm going to be telling a lot of people in their championship matchup to start Rashad Penny.
At this point, I think you have to. I've got him at RB13 on the week.
Yes. Ooh, I love the aggressiveness. And you mentioned Wilson at 13 for you at quarterback?
12.
12 for you. Okay, yeah. So you feel relatively confident that, you know, he'll, at least he won't be a total dud in this one, right? Given the matchup. Okay. And Gerald Everett Yates, is he in your circle of trust yet?
I've not circle of trust, but I've got him at tight end 12. So again, once you get past 10, it's like, yeah, any of these guys could find the end zone, but they could bust if they don't. So Gerald Everett for me, definitely worthy of consideration this week.
Vikings at the Packers. How do you feel about the Packers running backs here, Yates?
I still have Aaron Jones higher. I have him at 11. So he's still seeing the majority of the work here. He didn't find the end zone last week, which kind of burned fantasy managers. But, you know, we know that he can find the end zone with regularity. So kind of betting on that here against Minnesota. So I've got him at 11. AJ Dillon all the way down at 28. And that's just because I have a difficult time ranking him above some of these other guys. But there's a possibility that he could rise. But he's more of a high-end RB3 for me rather than a locked-in starting option.
I said that we're often in lockstep with our rankings. In this one, we're pretty different. Yates, you have Jones, you said, at 11 and Dillon at 28. I have Jones at 12 and Dillon at 28. So rethink what you're doing there. You're obviously starting Aaron Rodgers. You're obviously starting Devontae Adams. Are you starting anybody else for the Packers?
I'll start MVS, man. I think that he's off the COVID list, going to be active for this one against Minnesota, who, again, we thought that last week Matthew Stafford was just going to go wild against this defense, who was allowing the most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. And then also, you know, they were, I think, the third most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks at that point of the season. Yeah. And Stafford fell flat, but Aaron Rodgers is just going to pass all over these guys this week. So MVS, I feel confident that he's going to be the second guy. I've got him at 30 on the week.
Wow. All right. That's aggressive. Yeah, I'm closer to 40 there, but all right. I like it. For the Vikings, Yates, you're starting Dalvin Cook, of course. You're starting Justin Jefferson, of course. Adam Thielen now done for the season. So how about KJ Osborne in this one?
I have Osborne at 34. It's hard for me to feel like extremely confident in what we're going to get from him. I do think that you can still look his way, obviously, but and he has upside. But yeah, at the same time, like, I just don't know exactly what we're going to get in this game, too, where the weather is cold. Jair Alexander expected to be back at the time of recording. So we could see this secondary, you know, kind of get a little bit tighter. So, Osborne's one of the guys that I'll play if I need him. But, Kirk Cousins tested positive for COVID.
Oh, my God. Look at that. Oh, boy.
Yep. Schefter just tweeted Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins tested positive for COVID. Look at that timing. That is ridiculous.
During the game, we could not have planned this any better. Okay, Yates, rethink. What are you doing now with everybody on the Vikings?
Man, Justin Jefferson comes down. Who is even the backup quarterback for? Is it Sean? Who's the backup quarterback for Minnesota?
I'm embarrassed to say I don't know.
Is it Sean Mannion? Right, like, that's,
I actually don't know. All right, I can't remember.
This is really embarrassing. We should know this.
Yeah, we should, but we are dumb, and it's week 17 at this point.
Yeah, Sean Mannion's on the roster, and then Kyle Sloter. So, so Sean Mannion. Good night. So this is what behind the scenes, this is what we go through when we get news like this, and we have to rethink our rankings process, except we're doing it on the freaking air. Kirk Cousins, I was fading him to begin with, so I'm concerned about everything that I talked about with Osborne, with Jefferson, like that still rings true with the weather. So you have to downgrade this passing game like immensely. So Justin Jefferson really becomes the key one where do I play Tyler Lockett or Justin Jefferson? Right, like that's the territory now where I think I'm going to drop him. We don't even know what to expect from Sean Mannion. When's the last time we saw him throw a football on the NFL field? So. Yeah, man, this is tough. Osborne's completely off the radar now. Not going anywhere near Osborne, near Conklin. The really only guys that you were looking at here are Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson. Dalvin Cook locked into lineups. I think he's going to see, he'll see 30 carries. But then the question becomes, all right, what happens to Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, that's the thing, right? You still have to start Cook. I think you still have to start Jefferson just because he's Justin Jefferson. But I do think you avoid everybody else. Like, I agree. KJ Osborne, no. Like, Tyler, people still want to start Tyler Conklin for whatever reason. No, don't do that whatsoever. I appreciate Adam Schefter breaking the news at the appropriate time. Thank you very much. There you have it. All our, like, impromptu thoughts. As we say, I can't even remember who the Vikings backup quarterback is at this point. All right. Browns and Steelers. Yates, you are starting Nick Chubb. Are you starting anybody else for the Browns?
Man, I'm still reeling from that. Okay.
You got to go. I'm adjusting my rankings on the fly.
I am too. So I'm like thinking about my rankings, but I'm like, okay, we got to talk. Yeah, Nick Chubb is at RB2 for me on the week. Like, lock him in. Kareem Hunt, don't expect him to be back this week. Not looking at D'Ernest Johnson. Jarvis Landry, low-end wide receiver 3. Like, same territory as Michael Gallup, you know, Tyler Boyd, like in that territory for me.
Yep.
So definitely think you can look his way, but not excited to play him. Outside of that, no, you run away from this offense.
That's correct. Start Nick Chubb and nobody else. And yeah, I hope that the
Kellen Mond. How did I think about Kellen Mond?
No, I thought about Mond, but I didn't know whether or not he was.
So here, Field Yates, Sean Manning is also on the COVID-19 list at the moment. So it is going to be Kellen Mond.
Yeah, because I knew they had Mond, but I was almost positive he was not the backup, like direct backup for him. Right. So, oh, God. All right, but we don't know about what his status is on the COVID list, Mannion. Like, did he test positive?
I haven't seen anything. I just saw that he is also on the COVID list.
Yeah.
So, okay. Don't know exactly if he's going to be cleared. I would like to see Kellen Mond. I like Mond coming out of Texas A&M. So I think that would give me actually like to be able to see Kellen Mond over Sean Manning would give me a little bit more confidence in Justin Jefferson, but as a mid-range wide receiver too.
Yeah, I have no confidence whatsoever. But regardless, doesn't matter. Okay. For the Steelers, Yates, it was really ugly last week, but of course you are still starting Najee Harris, and of course you're still starting Deontay Johnson. Both of whom did not kill you last week for fantasy or anything like that, right? How about Chase Claypool?
In that same range that we just talked about with Jarvis Landry, I've got him at 39. So it's Michael Gallup at 37, Tyler Boyd at 38, Chase Claypool at 39 for me. So he is not providing the upside. This offense, this is going to be Big Ben's last game in Heinz Field. I think he's done at the end of this year. He needs to be done. Chase Claypool for me, like someone that you can play, but as a flex option at best.
And it sounds like Pat Freiermuth is going to be able to come back for this one. So does he slide right back into your starting lineup?
Yeah, this is one where if you're watching on our YouTube channel, which you should be over at youtube.com/fantasypros, we have amazing graphics here where we talk about like starts and sits. So Freiermuth is going to show up as a sit just based on I didn't get him in with the news before I had to submit that for our video producer. But Pat Freiermuth is going to be a top 12 play for me. Just again, if we're talking about Mike Gesicki, like Gerald Everett, I will play Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah. Okay. So Pelissero, by the way, just to keep going on the Vikings, and you could, this is basically what Yates and Pat and Joe and I do on our Slack channel as we debate things. So it sounds like Sean Mannion tested positive on Sunday, so he could be cleared today, and he may start, or it may be Kellen Mond, or maybe Kyle Sloter. So
Sunday Night Football, baby.
Yeah, that's gonna be some fun. Okay.
Is it too late to flex that game out?
Yeah, I think probably most likely it's a little too late, but all right, whatever. It's going to be fun. All right, Yates, despite some turmoil in this episode, we did finish out the season. It was fantastic. Spoiler alert, I'm going to force Yates to do one more podcast with me at some point this season, whether or not it's on the Fantasy Pros podcast. I'm telling him now, or whether it's not, it's on the kickoff for me, and just I have him on so I can talk to him because he is my bud. But in the meantime, Yates, enjoy your trip to Florida. I hope it goes well. I hope everybody on the plane doesn't yell at you.
Yep.
If your kids misbehave, as they did with me one time, which was very upsetting, but it's fine. But thanks to Prize Picks for sponsoring today's show. Daily Fantasy Simplified. Use our promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. I hope everyone has a wonderful New Year's Eve, or if you're listening to this after, you had a wonderful New Year's Eve. I'll be back, as always, on Sunday night doing the recap show with Pat Fitzmaurice. I'll talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.